Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of Klaus?
It was adorable.
Ah, thank goodness. Okay, so for those of you who just tuning in and have not yet read the title, I guess, welcome to You Want Me to Watch What? A podcast where Justin and I recommend.
It's a good way to put it.
I was
going to
say challenge, but it's not really, it's not always a challenge.
No.
Recommend a movie that one of us has seen that the other one hasn't, that we just kind of, then we riff on and get some talk about. And today we are talking about Klaus. I know for you listening, it's after Thanksgiving, but for us it was before, and I deeply apologize for the Christmas movie prior to Thanksgiving.
Way to ruin the magic of podcasting, Chad.
I know. I am in many ways just an awful, awful human being. And in other ways, not. So, let's talk about Klaus. A story that gives an origin for Santa Claus. I almost said Spider-Man because I've got like a Spider-Man doll over my computer monitor.
You know, they are due for another Spider-Man
and
reboot.
And I sit there, you know, well, with great power.
Spider-Claus.
How do you think he delivers to so many kids in the city?
Mm-hmm.
So, Klaus, an origin story for Santa Claus in which Santa is not the main character.
I enjoyed
that.
The
main character is actually Jesper Johansson, a lazy, spoiled postman who doesn't want to be a postman, but his father's the postmaster general.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally hit a point where he thinks that, all right, I'm going to be sent home to my silk sheets and my butlers and maids and so forth. And his father sends him to one of those spots almost off the map.
Yep.
You know, he is Zim being sent off to a place so wretched they dare not speak its name. But they do speak its name. A place called Smearensburg. And he has the task of posting 6,000 letters within a year. If he does so, he'll be welcomed back. He'll be reinstated to the family wealth. If he fails, he's cut off completely. Except when he gets there, he realizes that this is a town that doesn't do mail. The entire town is a Hatfields and McCoys situation.
Yep.
The Ellingbows and the Crumbs that are perpetually in a feud for no reason other than the matriarch and the patriarch of each of the clans basically says, we just like it. We like fighting each other.
It's always been this way.
And so it is. And so Jesper, he wants to post these 6,000 letters because he wants to go back home. And so he fails miserably.
Yep.
Over and over again. And he finds a recluse just on the very edge of the map of Smearensburg. And he's like, well, who lives there? Oh, it's the woodsman, says Norm MacDonald. You should go see him.
Yeah.
He loves visitors. Where he goes up and is terrified by this, you know, imposing woodsman, you know, and he runs away. But in doing so, leaves behind this drawing of a kid, you know, looking sad in a house that looks like he's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get the kid to post the letter. The kid dropped the picture outside on the ground. He's like, I'll mail it to you if you throw me a penny. And the kid doesn't do it, so he keeps the letter.
Yep.
Klaus sees it, decides to give the kid a toy. Forces Jesper, you know, to go to the house and deliver this toy. And the kid is elated. and the word spreads. And before you know it, Jesper has come across the way to get his 6,000 letters by having the kids write sad letters to Klaus, so that he will deliver toys. Because in the workshop, when Jesper was there, it was filled with handmade toys.
Mm-hmm.
And soon more and more are writing letters, and Jesper he's doing well. And then finds that some kids can't write letters. So he goes to the teacher, who became a fishmonger, in order to make ends meet so that she could get out of Smearensburg, and convinces her to start teaching the kids how to read and write in one of, I think, the funniest scenes of the movie, when she's chopping up the fish and the kids are just like, "Can you teach us something today? If I teach you something, will you leave?" And teaches one of them how to write their name. And then, like, all the kids are just like, "I want to write my name. Can I write my name? Will you teach me how to write my name?" It's a great scene.
It is.
Eventually, as occurs, you know, because the kids have been informed that Klaus only brings toys to the good children because he sees what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when you've been. He puts it on his naughty list. You don't want to be on his naughty list. And so the kids start cleaning up the town. They start taking care of each other. They start doing these things, which spills over to the adults, which, of course, upsets the matriarch or patriarch, who really just like things the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the liars revealed trope. You know, you see over the hedge and, well, this one, there's a few of those where your main character is shown to be a liar in front of all the people that he's made friends with. And so his father shows up. They're going to do on Christmas Eve. On Christmas, they're going to do it. And the Postmaster General shows up, has like 14,000 letters. You've done it. You've done the work. Come on home. And it looks like everything's going to go back the way it is. But it doesn't. You know, spoiling the shit out of the movie. I mean, it doesn't. It's one of those movies where at the end, you know, there's redemption for everyone, and it's got a nice, good, clean ending, and it's pretty, and it's heartwarming, and Smearensburg becomes this happy town. Then the family elders have to, you know, end the feud because their children get married, you know, and it's fine, you know. There are some things that I really look forward to your opinion on.
Okay.
But I want to start with that story. You know, I'm not going to say it's a standard Christmas story, but it also kind of is.
Yes.
Did it?
Yeah,
did it hold you?
I would
did it keep you? You know, did it keep you as a story, or did you find yourself, you know, on the phone a couple of times just like, okay, where are we going to get to the point?
I only found myself on the phone when I was like, okay, who's that voice? Flip, 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 flip. Ah, okay.
Which one? J.K. Simmons?
No, I knew that, and I knew Norm Macdonald right away, but it was like, okay, who's Jesper? Who's, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman as Jesper.
No, it was a good story.
Emperor's New Groove is the other liars revealed kind
of. Yes, yes, yes.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No,
the story.
So
the story kept me engaged. I liked it. It was a bit predictable at times, but it's a kids' movie. Of course, it is.
Mm-hmm. So here's where I really, really want to hear, because your expertise kind of falls into this.
Okay.
As an artist. The art of this movie.
It was good.
It's all the hand-drawn and painted 2D cells that utilized the same techniques that end up being used in like computer generation to make it look three-dimensional. It wasn't computer animated.
You're shitting me.
No. No, so the director of this, Sergio Pablos, like he made his bones during the second renaissance of, or the renaissance of Disney, like doing Hercules and, you know, that round.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Treasure Planet, you know, yeah, those kind of things. And when he was making this, he said he didn't want to bring, he said that people didn't really buy into Princess and the Frog because it tried to just emulate the animation of the 90s instead of doing something with it.
Yes.
Right? And so he said he didn't want to bring 2D animation back. He wanted to bring 2D animation forward. And so while, yes, there are a couple of things in it that have been accented by the computer touch-ups and so mm-hmm. forth, it is a 2D hand-painted animated.
I have a brand new respect for this movie. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I thought it was just another CGI kids thing. And it was gorgeous the way it was done, the way I thought it was done. But holy crap. That's awesome.
So yeah. The idea was to use the tools that they have, you know, to be able to do these things, but to do a 2D animated movie and just bring it into what it could be with the right direction and the right art styles. Because it is very much that 2D style animation with the wacky character design.
Yeah.
And, you know, the super identifiable silhouettes.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you just silhouetted all the characters, you'd still know exactly who all of them are.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so I just, that was the part, that was what made me want to recommend it to you. As like, as somebody who I know has looked at the artwork of everything from Batman comics to My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic and beyond. I mean, you've got such an eye for those things. That's what I wanted you to see.
Oh man.
The story is secondary. The story is good, but it's not great. The voice acting's superb.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Everyone from Joan Cusack to Rashida Jones, you know,
mm-hmm.
J.K. Simmons and Jason Schwartzman, all excellent.
Absolutely.
Norm MacDonald is at his Norm MacDonaldest.
Yes, absolutely.
They should have just put his face on the character model that no one would have noticed.
Oh, okay. So going back to the art style thing.
Yeah.
That floors me. That absolutely floors me. Honestly, I think I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're listening to this in the month of December, watch it in a couple weeks closer to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm going to have to go back and watch that again and just really soak that in. Because upon first viewing, my mind went to, okay, CGI, cute character designs, gorgeous backgrounds, as you would expect. Never even thinking that it was 2D made to look like CGI. So I'm going to have to go back and give this a second watch just for that.
When you do, look specifically at the shadows.
Noted.
Because I have no idea how you teach that level of detail. Not, you know, it's not, I'm not talking about like pimples on the face, mm-hmm. you know. I'm talking about realizing when the light shifts just a little bit, how you have to change the shadow on the nose in order to make it look real and not just blocked.
Yeah.
It's a lot of gushing. I recommend this movie straight up.
Absolutely.
Where are you sitting on this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if you don't have a kid to watch it with, that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you are into Christmas, this is a good movie to watch because it embodies all of that. And one of the things I really picked up on were the introduction of the various Santa Claus myths and how they played out in this, quote, real-world setting. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, the naughty list. That was just Jesper trying to get one of the shitty kids to be nice to him because he was being a jerk.
Yeah.
The whole reindeer flying.
And how a lot of the...
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead with the reindeer flying, because that's another one of those great scenes.
Well, first, they were using a horse to draw the carriage, but when they loaded it down with toys, the one horse couldn't pull it. So, and this beautiful montage of Jesper trying to catch reindeer and Klaus just putting down food to, you know, coerce them in and tame them. They hook up reindeer to the cart. Great. Okay, fine. Well, then there's mischief happens on the part of the two town elders. And at one point, this sleigh hits a ramp and goes flying through the air with all the reindeer. And one kid sees them flying past the window. So clearly, Klaus travels on a magical sleigh.
And the next day, and so much of it is just the kids swapping stories and rumors. Like, you know, he fits down the chimneys. You know, how does he do that? Because everyone knows Klaus is a very large individual.
Because it's Jesper who's this skinny.
Cut to scenes of Jesper, you know, landing in the fireplaces.
And he was going to deliver a present to that snotty kid, but left a chunk of coal in there because Jesper is that kind of person. Very petty. And that sparked the whole, I only got this. Well, you were naughty.
Oh, it wasn't a mistake. He knows. No, he couldn't, man.
Oh, so.
Yes. One of the overlooked things that I overlooked it the first time I watched it, and I caught it this time. Jesper is absolutely lazy and he's spoiled.
Yes.
But given the task and the motivation, he did the work.
Yes.
You know, when he was told, get 6,000 letters, he spends how much of that first year completely despondent and still going out and trying to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he kind of finds the niche, he still has to do the work. He's just, now he's got work to do. It's a self-serving job that he's given himself.
Yeah. One thing that I really enjoyed about the whole thing in general was during the whole, you know, origin quote of Santa Claus, there's no magic involved. There's no elves. There's no fairy dust. The reindeer don't actually fly. The only bit of quote magic we see are snow swirls that kind of catch Klaus's attention, which we then find out are it's not necessarily this, but he had a wife, she passed away, and so he's seeing all of those things happening with the snow swirls as kind of, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they explain it where they went on like this for several years, and then we see this scene of the snow blowing in the leaves, and there's this beautiful sunset on top of a hill, and Klaus knows it's his time, and he walks up the hill, and the scene just gets brighter and brighter, and then they said, and he was gone. You know, they looked everywhere for Klaus. They couldn't find him. He was just gone. And then at the end, at the very end, you hear Jesper say, I don't know what happened, but every year, once a year, I get to see my friend. And you see him setting down milk and cookies. So it's just, they don't.
With streaks of gray in his hair.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesper's gotten older.
Yeah, he's gotten older and he's married to the teacher and they have kids. They don't go out of their way to explain the magic. It just is. Mm-hmm. And to me, as somebody who tries very hard to stay a child at heart, somebody who loves the scary of Halloween and the magic of Christmas, that was a beautiful thing. And as somebody who is a parent, that was a beautiful thing because you don't have to explain it. It's just, he just did. He is Santa and it just happened. I really enjoyed that.
My kid loved it and wanted to watch it again the very next day because of course she did.
Of course.
That's the case. I will say, probably younger than like 6. Bear in mind that there's a few really dark things about this.
Yeah, there are a few.
You know, when he shows up at Klaus's the second time and Klaus, you know, hands him a rope that has what looks like a noose at the end of it, And Jesper puts it over his head because he thinks he's about to be killed, and he just is accepting it.
Yeah.
Or the giant whale skeleton decorated in Christmas lights when things start to go well.
Now, to be fair, that was less scary than the giant whale skeleton shrouded in fog at the beginning.
Yes, but that's also that was more scary but less dark somehow.
True. It's a fishing town. Like, of course they're going to have a whale skeleton.
Dressed up like a Christmas tree.
Yes.
That thing came out, my child said, "What is that?" I said, "It looks like a whale skeleton." You know, if you've never seen a whale skeleton, it looks a whole lot like what you would expect the skeleton of a graboid to look like.
Yeah.
From Tremors.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, it's a see it from me. We're hitting our time limit here.
Yeah, it's a
see it from me.
It's a see it from
sounds
me.
Sounds like a see it from
absolutely.
Me. All right. And that makes it your turn. You got any ideas?
I think I've got something, yes.